So
now I am. Now I am. I got a position. I got a position. Have on.
What do you say?
You're didn't have it on before, but you'll need to move it further away.
Okay. How's that?
Seems better. Okay. All right. So we are holding on Yud Beis on the days by the two dots, the Ein Mechatzos. Okay. So the Mishnah had been mentioning a number of things in Halacha where you have that one thing, where one thing is not able to produce another thing of the same kind. The reason for that, the reason why that belongs in our Masechta, is because one of the things in it was that a tmura can't make another tmura. In other words, you had animal A, which was an animal of Kodshim, and you make a tmura from it to animal B. You're not able to afterwards go from B to C. Nothing happens. C gets no kedusha at all. So therefore, because it mentioned that, so therefore it mentioned a few other cases where one thing can't make another. And one of them, the Mishnah said, "Ve'ein mechatas nasa mechatas chola," that mechatas para aduma water only becomes para aduma water. It only gains its ability to be matara person only when you put the ashes into it. So man tana, the Gemara says, which tana is the one that says that it has to have to be that way, that the first the water, then the ashes. Amar Rav Chiya ba'Aba, Amar Rav Yechanan, deloy k'Rav Shimon. That must be not like Rav Shimon. Titania, as we learn in a Braisa, hikim offer lamayim. If he puts the dust in before the water, possible, then it's possible, but Rav Shimon machshir. Now, what is this talking about? Actually, Rashi over here learns that the Rambam also paskens accordingly that we're actually not talking about the parah aduma in this particular case. We're actually talking about the mei soita. We know that you have the water, that the potion that they prepare for the soita to drink also.
Still not good. And now?
Now it's better. Actually, not really. It's still... Okay. Maybe you should just use my recordings and not bother with yours. All right, whatever. Anyway. All right, let's continue. So Rashi mentions over here, and the Rambam also passes accordingly. We're not actually talking about over here for a second. We're not talking about the Mechatas. We're actually talking about the mei soita, where you have the same kind of thing. You know, you fill up water for the soita from the kiyar, and then you have to put in dirt from the floor of the mishkan or the bes mikdash. So the same idea then that we're talking about, that the braisa, the tanakama of the braisa, is saying that if you put the dirt in first, then it's possible. Vir Rav Shimon machshir, but Rav Shimon says it's kosher. So the same idea then would apply. So the same idea would apply to the paradoma water. Now, the Sfasemis asks about that and says that actually the in Soita, where it also brings this Braisa, it is actually talking about Mechatos. Okay, anyway.
Where do they take it from, that the order counts?
Well, that's what we're going to figure out now. My time of Rav Shimon, why does Rav Shimon say that it's okay to put the dirt first? So like this, or in the case of the part Adoma, to put the ashes first, just give, because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says they should take for the Tomei person from the dust, meaning the ashes, of the burnt Chatas, the burnt part Adoma, the Nosan Olav Mayim Chaim, and then you place on it living water, meaning from a spring. That's what the Pasuk says. This Tanya, and we learn in a Braisa on that, Rav Shimon Omer, that Rav Shimon says, let's look at the Pasuk. Offer who? What do you mean? Why is the Pasuk using the word offer, which means dirt? It's not dirt, it's ashes. Now, okay, you have the Gemara in Cholin mentions, for example, that from there we see that ashes can be considered dirt, therefore you can use them for kisui adam, but still, why does the Pasuk not say afer, sreka zachatas? So he says, shina kosev mi mashmoi, so Rav Shimon says, therefore the Pasuk is telling us is using a different word than you would expect to do. Lodrun hemet, lodrun, Lodrun Hemenu Gzeira Shava, in order to be able to make a Gzeira Shava from it, from Mei Soita. Namely, Nemakan Offer, the Nemalahalan Offer. So here it says Offer, even though you would expect it to say Afer. By the Soita, it also says that you take Offer, and there it actually means Offer. You actually take dirt from the ground of the Mishkan or the Beth Mikdash. But you have a Gzera Shava, Malahalam Ofer, Agabe Amayim. Therefore, just like over there, you put the dirt on top of the water, and that's clear because the Pasuk says that you put the water in the Keli, and then you put the dirt on top of it. Afkan Ofer, Agabe Amayim, the same thing over here. You're supposed to put the dirt, meaning the ashes, after the water. But continues Reb Shimon, Uma Kan Hikdim Ofer Amayim Kosher. But on the other hand, when it comes to Mechatas, since, after all, the Pasuk mentions that you put in the ashes and then you put the water, but not on all of Mayim Chaim. So therefore, so Rav Shimon says, Hiktim Ofel Mayim Kosher, just like in the case of Parah Aduma, if the Dieved, you put the ashes first and then you put the water, it is kosher, because after all, that's the implication of the Pasuk. Afkan, the same thing over there, when it comes to the Lahalam, when it comes to the Soita, Hiktim Ofel Mayim Kosher. So Reb Shimon says, in other words, that because you have the Gzeira Shava, but on the other, and on the one hand, when it comes to Mei Sota, the Pasuk mentions the order water then dirt, because it says you put Mayim Kedoshim B'Klichores, and then the offer you put Benotan Elamo, you put it into the water, implying water first. But here, by the part of Aduma, it seems to say the other way around, that you're putting in the ashes first, and then Benotan Olav, you place on it Mayim Chaim El Kelly. Therefore, Reb Shimon says, the Gzeira Shava teaches us that there's a Lachat Chiladik way and a B'dievedik way. The Lachat Chiladik way is that you put, in both cases, you put the water first, then the dirt or the ashes. The B'dievedik way is it is valid if you did it the other way around as well. That's Reb Shimon. Okay, so the question is, V'hocham Nolan. So where do we see by the Mechatas, actually? So actually, no, it's not that we're learning from the way it says by Sota versus the way it says by Parah Aduma. By Parah Aduma itself, Reb Shimon has a reason to say that either way is kosher. So the question is, V'hocham Nolan, where by Parah Aduma do we see that either way is kosher, that there's a L'chila and a B'dievedik way, that then you're telling me we're going to learn Sota from it? The reason is Reb Shimon says straight croik city because you have two parts to the pasuk. First it says v'nosan olav. First it says you place on it water, meaning alma efer bereisha, implying that you put the ashes into the keli first and then you pour the water on top of them. But v'hadur ksiv mayim chayim el keli. But then the pasuk continues that you should put the spring water into the keli, implying directly into the keli. Not with the ashes being in the keli first, which would be a chatzitza in effect. So what is it? Are you supposed to put the ashes first, v'nosan olav mayim, or is it supposed to be mayim chayim el keli, that the water is supposed to go into the keli directly? Ha ketzad, how do you reconcile them? Reb Shimon says, that's what it means. Rotza ofel amata, rotza ofel amayla. It means you can do it either way. You want to put the ashes first, you could do that. You want to put the water first and then the ashes, you could do all that. So therefore, by Parah Aduma, either way is kosher, and by Mei Sota as well. What it is by Mei Sota, where it only mentions the one way of doing it, by Mei Sota, it only says that you put Mayim Kedoshim, and then you put Umin Ha'ofer Asheyiyah B'Karka Mishkan. So therefore, Reb Shimon says, that's what the Gzeira Shava is doing for us. The Gzeira Shava is teaching us that what it says by Sota is l'hakchila what you're supposed to do by Parah Aduma as well. But since you have, by Parah Aduma, where you have two conflicting implications from the pasuk, therefore that teaches us b'dievet is kosher the other way, and once we have that b'dievet is kosher the other way by Mei Chatas, by Parah Aduma, then the same thing applies because of the Gzeira Shava also to Plato. So that's where Reb Shimon gets that you have l'hakchila versus a b'dievet.
Fine, but it says v'nasan alav.
V'nosan olav means you should put on it Mayim Chaim, which seems to imply that you have to first put in the ashes, then the water. But on the other hand, Mayim Chaim El Keli seems to imply that the water has to go directly into the Keli without anything else being in there first. So how is that?
It could mean that you put the water in the Keli. It doesn't mean that that's nothing. There shouldn't be anything in the keli.
Then it doesn't have to say Mayim Chaim El Keli. Then it should just mean. Then the pastures it would just mean that if it just meant that the water goes in second, it could have just said Menachem all of Mayim Chaim. It didn't have to say El Keli. El Keli seems to imply that you have the water has to go in with into the Keli first without there being anything else in without there being anything in there first. Rashi says, Demashma Shamayim Yunasunan El Keli Valayala Offer, implying the water has to be placed into a Keli, not into the ashes. So therefore, so you have those two conflicting implications. So Rav Shimon says, the Gzeira Shava from Soita, where it only mentions water first, teaches us that's the right way to do it. The Gzeira Shava then also goes in the other direction to teach us, on the other hand, since by Parah Adumah, the prophet is implying that either way is kosher, so it means, fine, B'dieved is also kosher. And therefore, that's the case with Mei Soita as well. The Tana Didan Mai Taima. Okay, so our Tana, or the Tana Kama meaning, why does he say differently? Why does he say it has to be water first and then ashes, or water first and then dirt, and no other way? Amalach, the reason is, the Tana Kama will tell you, because Sefer Dekra, you Rav Shimon, are telling me that the Mayim Chaim El Keli implies that the water has to go in first. But on the other hand, you're arguing that the Nosan Olav Mayim implies that you put the ashes in first. No, he says like this. Sefer Dekra Davka. The last part of the pasuk where it says Mayim Chaim El Keli, that means exactly that. The water has to go into the Keli without anything else being in the Keli first. Resha. The Nosan Olav means what Arvan. When it says the Nosan Olav, Mayim Chaim, it doesn't mean like you, Rav Shimon, are thinking that you could put the ashes in first and then the water. No, say the Chachamim, we would say that that's possible. The Nosan Olav Mayim means that you have to mix them. You can't just say, in other words, that okay, you poured in water into the keli. Now you're going to put ashes on top of it, and it's okay. The ashes can just be floating on top of the water, and that's that. No, you actually have to mix them so that when you're mixing them, you actually have water on top of the ashes. So that's what it means. So nothing about that you can put the ashes in first, and therefore the Chachamim would say that that in fact is possible. Question is, why dafka that way? My chazis the amrit sefer dekra dafka. What makes you, Tanakama, say that only the end of the pasuk, mayim chayim al keli, is dafka, that it has to be water in the keli without anything else first? Dilma reisha dafka, maybe the other way around, maybe the venosan all of mayim chayim is the thing that's meant to be precise, meaning that maybe the other way around, maybe you have to put in, according to the chachamim, the ashes first and then the water. The answer is loy matzis amrit. You can't think to say that way because mama pina b'chol mokam machshir l'mayla. Because whenever you find elsewhere that the Torah tells you that you're supposed to put something into water and that changes that water's status and gives it a new din, you find that elsewhere. Specifically by Soja, you find that the machshir, the thing that makes the water into what it's supposed to be, is lamaila, goes on top, because there the pasuk says explicitly, water first, then dirt. So therefore, afkan machshir lamaila, the same way they say by the parah adumah, the pasuk is implying it must have to be that way, water first, then ashes, because the machshir, the ashes which are making the water from plain water into parah adumah water, has to be set in, just as the pasuk mentions by the Sota, that it has to be set in.
And Rav Shimon
essentially, the Shittim Kobesa says the Chachamim are using, even though the Gemara says Mama Finu, they're not really doing the Shittim Kobesa brings. They're not actually doing a Mama Finu, a Binyan Av. Rather, they're using the same Gzeira Shava as Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon used the Gzeira Shava kind of both directions to say that there's a L'chila way and a B'dieved way. The Chachamim say that the Gzeira Shava is only going in one direction and saying that we're learning from Sota, where it says that where it says water first, we're learning from that to Parah Adumah that they are also, it's water first and it must be that way. Fine. So that's that. So that's the machlokas of Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. So therefore, our Mishnah that says that it only becomes mechatas when you put in the ashes, implying that you have to put in the ashes second, that you first have the water in there already, and only then you put in the ashes, that can only work according to the Chachamim. Rav Shimon would disagree with that concept. Rav Shimon would say that it's equally kosher if you put in the ashes first.
Okay.
Next thing the Mishnah has said is, the in beisa pras oisa beisa pras hola. We said another thing, another example where you have that one thing of a certain type is not able to produce another thing of that type is a beisa pras can't make another beisa pras. So a beisa pras, we looked in the Mishnah, is you have a case where there was a grave in a field where the field was then plowed up. From midaraisa, when midaraisa, there's no issue with it. We don't assume that the plow broke up the bones and scattered them all over the place. Midrabanan, we are concerned about that. And therefore, midrabanan, what we do is we say that for a certain distance, specifically it's 100 amos in each direction from the grave, is tome midrabanan, because there may be fragments of bones scattered around over there. So we're saying that one beis hapras doesn't make another beis hapras in the sense, in other words, if you had, let's say, so you had, there was a grave over there. So you had, there was a grave over there. You plowed, and therefore 100 amos from the grave is a beis hapras. Now we're saying, if let's say later on you plowed that field that is now a beis hapras together with another adjacent field, the Mishnah is saying that second field wouldn't be considered a beis hapras. So the Gemara says,
let's say up to 50% of the other field?
Because the whole concept that we're concerned about, that bones may have gotten scattered all over the place, that whole concept is Dirabban. So the Mishnah is telling us that the Dirabbanan did not impose that Zera to the extent that if you then plow that base attack, that now we're concerned that bones may have been picked up from that first field and scattered into a second field. The Chachamim are saying we're not concerned about that possibility. We say that only the first field is Tomei, the second field is not.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, that's missing the light to Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah, in saying that, is not like Rabbi Eliezer's Shitta. Ditnan, or Ditanya really, it's a Braita. It is a Mishnah, rather, Ditnan. Rabbi Eliezer, I'm a beis hapras, or it's a beis hapras. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, one beis hapras could make another beis hapras. In other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, just that. You had a grave, then you plowed it, and we assume that bones were scattered 100 amos from it. According to Rabbi Eliezer, we would say that, yes, if then you plowed that field together with another field nearby it, then, yes, they're also going to be Tomei for 100 amos. Because Rabbi Eliezer is concerned that maybe the plow picked up fragments of bone and then transported them another 100 amos. Rashi over here at the top of the next Amud actually brings that according to Rabbi Eliezer, we would actually say that all the fields around the beis hapras become a beis hapras. And then Tosfos wonders why. I mean, let's say you plowed from east to west. Why would the fields north and south of the beis hapras become tomei? Okay, that Tosfos explains that we don't mean in all directions. Like Rashi says, we just mean in the directions in the direction in which you plowed. Okay, fine. So our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. So the question is Zirabonon ad kama. So we have to ask now. So now, there's actually, besides for beis hapras, you have another type of field which is also tomei for a different reason. And really, each of them is you have like this. There's beis hapras, which we just said, a field where you know where the grave was, but then the field was plowed up, and therefore there's concern that bones from the grave have been picked up and scattered. You have another related concept, which is also discussed in a number of places in Shas, called Sodesh Ovad Bokether, which means a field where a grave was lost in it. That means it wasn't necessarily plowed, but you have a field where you know at one point there was a grave in it, but you lost track of where that grave is. So now the question is, if you have a Sodesh Ovad Bokever, where you've lost track of where the grave is, now, according to the Chachamim, if you were to plow up this field, ad kama, how far is there a concern of beis hapras for this? So the, the, The idea being, in other words, like this, it's one thing if you plowed only part of the field, because then fine, you have a suspect spacer. You might not have even plowed over the area that had the grave at all, and even if you did, not necessarily did the plow pick up any pieces of bones. But the question is, the Rash, one of the Rishonim, explains that the question over here is, let's say you plowed the entire field, so now no question about it, you plowed over the area of the grave. So now you have a matter of beis hapras. But the question is basically that where do we start counting the 100 amos from? Because after all, the grave might have been in the middle of the field, it might have been at the east end, it might have been at the west end, etc. So therefore, according to the Chachamim, how far would we consider it a beis hapras? That's the Rash understands Rashi's. That's the Rashi's understanding of what Rashi says on our sugya. The Rashi himself has some problems with it. So he says we're still talking about a sodesh nechrash b'kev, but we're still talking about a classic beis hapras, a field in which a grave was plowed up. But the question would be basically, if you have this field is 100 by 100 amos, so the question is if even according to the Chachamim, if you plow that field, does it make a beis hapras anywhere nearby? So the answer is, ki osir of dimi amir of shlokish amir of shim ba'ava, shalosh sodeis ushtei manes. You can have like this, up to 3 fields and 2 plow lengths. A mana, you have a pasuk in Tehillim, agabi choshu choshim, harichol manisa, in Kafetot Kol Chavtes, a mana is the distance where you plow in one, where you plow all at once before, like you take a, in other words, even if you have a, let's say, a large field, there's only so far when you're plowing, you have an animal pulling the plow, there's only so far that you go at one time before you take a break and clean the plow, I guess, and whatever, and then you continue. That distance is called a mana. So Rav Dimi is telling us in the name of Rav Shlokish, in the name of Shimon Ba'aba, that you can have up to 3 fields and two plow lengths. V'kama maloy mana mea ama. And what's the distance of a maloy mana of a plow length is 100 amas. Meaning, in other words, again, according to Rashi, we're talking about, if you have a field where at one time you know there was a grave in there, but you lost track of where that grave is, and then you went and plowed that field. So one field in each direction from that one within 100 amos will be a beis hapras. So like this, for example, you're plowing, let's say, east to west. So the field to the east of it and the field to the west of it will be the ones that are now considered a beis hapras.
From east to west, let's say
from east to west. So you have one field in the middle where you had a grave in it at one point, but now you lost track of where the grave is. Now you went and plowed that field. You're plowing east to west. So the one field that's east of it and the one field that's west of it are going to be a beis hapras now, because now those are the places where you have concerns that bones may have been scattered up to 100 amos away.
That is, if you plow beyond your own field.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Well, yeah, we're talking about your own field. If there's somebody else's field, actually, then you have different dinim because you have a concept. Ain't on them always to davashay neshaloi. A person is not able to ask for something that doesn't belong to him. Whatever. Let's not get into that. You have a perek of mishnayis olos that deals with those. Your perek yedzayin and masechta olos and mishnayis deals with those with that level of detail. The point is that you can have, in this case, up to 3 fields. Again, namely, you have the original field where the grave was, and one to the east and one to the west. And the same thing, if you're plowing with north to south, same idea. It would be one field to the north and one field to the south of it. That would now be a beis hapras. Again, the Rash, with his shita, that we're talking about a field that had already previously had a grave that was plowed up. So he learns, basically, the idea is that, let's say you have plowed 50 amos in each direction from the grave, and now you're plowing it again and continuing into the surrounding field, then you have another 50 amos. So in other words, again, the idea is the distance is 100 amos in each direction, total of 200 amos, 100 in one direction and 100 in the other direction, become a beis hapras. to the tan, as in fact, to the tan, yet to the tan, it's actually a Mishnah. Hachore shasakever, if a person plows up an area with a grave, oisa beis apras, and he makes the area around it a beis apras, how far, maloi mana, the distance of one plow length, which is mea amma, 100 amas in each direction. So that's what it is. So the Chachamim say that a beis apras can't make another beis apras, and our Mishnah is according to that. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that, but even the Chachamim would agree that if you have a field which had a grave in it, you lost track where the grave was, and then you plowed up the field, then you've just created a beis apras, 100 amas in each direction. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, the ein truma achat truma chola. We said another example is there's no one truma after another, meaning if you separate a truma from your crop and then you separate it again, then the second one is not considered truma. So the Gemara says, mas nisin mani Rabbi Akiva. Who is our Mishnah like? That's specifically according to Rabbi Akiva. The Tanan, as we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Trumas, hashutfin shetomu zeachazeh, if partners, so you have partners who own a crop of grain or a crop, whatever, a crop of produce together, and if one of them gave truma and then another one, and then the other one gave truma, Rabbi Eliezer oima trumas shneim truma, Rabbi Eliezer says that both trumas are considered valid truma, because after all, each one owns some of the produce. So therefore, for half of what each one designated becomes truma for half the produce. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva oima ain truma shneim truma. Rabbi Akiva says no, the truma of both of them is not truma. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva would, so Rashi learns that Rabbi Akiva means neither one is truma, not the first one and not the second one. Because when the second one gives truma, it shows when he's giving truma, even though the first one already gave, it shows that he didn't like the fact that he didn't like the truma that the first one gave. And then vice versa, when the second one gives truma, it's without the das of the first one, because he only did it by himself, and without the other one's das. And truma you can only give with the das of the owner. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says neither one of them is truma. Tosfos argues on that. Tosfos argues on Rashi's explanation, because all the other examples we had in our Mishnah, one of them is chal. For example, we said in our Mishnah, let's say, you know, we have the last one we have, ein beis apras, oisa beis apras. Fine, it means the second area is not a beis apras, but the first one is. Why all of a sudden with truma would we be saying that the Mishnah is saying neither one is? So Tosfos learns that what it means is that it means that one of them that one of them is chal. The second one is not chal, but the first one is. Okay.
No, but if the first truma had in mind that his truma was good, although the other one was not good, why shouldn't it should know?
Well, that's the thing. So according to Rashi, neither one of them holds, because the first one, obviously the second one disagreed with it. He's saying, in effect, by taking second truma, I wouldn't have agreed to take truma the way you did. Therefore, the first one is not chal, because after all, he owns half of the crop. And the second one also was done without the das of the first one, so therefore the second one's no good either. But Tosfos learns that the implication of our Mishnah is that one of them has to be good. So Tosfos learns that what it means is that the first one is okay, but the first one is okay. It is chal, at least on his portion, and the second one is not. Okay. Anyway, the point is that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Akiva. And the Mishnah over there in Truma continues, the Chachamim have a third opinion. Im Tora Marishin Kashir, if the first one gave Truma in the proper amount, meaning that he gave, so you have, let's say, you have a thousand bushels of grain, let's say, and he gave, you're supposed to give, truma is 1/40th if you're generous, 1/50th average, 1/60th if you're stingy. So he gave, let's say 20 bushels, which would be 1/50th of the total. Then the Chachamim would say, ein truma sasheni truma. Then the second one's truma doesn't count, because then the first one gave truma on behalf of the whole thing. And they don't hold, like Rabbi Eliezer, that the second one disagreed with the first one, and therefore effectively is saying that it's not chal. No, the Chachamim are saying the first one is chal, because he did give truma on behalf of the whole thing. The imlay taram tashir, but if he only gave, let's say, for example, the shear of ayin ra, the cheap amount, so instead of giving 1/50, if he gave 1/60, then we can say the second one has valid reason to say, you know what, I don't like the fact that you were stingy with the truma. I would have been more generous, therefore truma tasheni truma, therefore the second one truma counts as truma, because then there's a valid reason to say that he disagreed with the first one. So three opinions over here. Rabbi Eliezer saying that both of them are considered valid truma, so each one is valid for his half. Rabbi Akiva saying that, according to Rashi, that neither one of them is good, and according to Tosfos, that only the first one is good. And the Chachamim are saying it depends whether the first one gave, according to Ayin Beinonis, according to the medium, according to the medium amount, 1/50th or more, then we say the second one doesn't count, and if he gave less than that, then the second one does count. The point is, our Mishnah doesn't get into that level of detail. Our Mishnah just says, generically, Ein Truma Acha Truma, there is never Truma after Truma. That can only be according to Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would be, the second one would be valid truma, and according to the Chachamim, sometimes it wouldn't. So therefore, if we say ein truma acha truma generically, that can only be according to Rabbi Akiva. Then we said in the Mishnah, the ein tmura oisa tmura chola, we said one tmura cannot make another tmura. So again, you had animal A of kodshim, and you said, I'm making animal B a tmura for it. So animal B now has kedusha, but if now later on you're going to say I'm making a tmura from C, I'm making C a tmura for B, nothing happens. So the Gemara is my timer. Why is that? The reason is omakro utmurase, because the pasuk says that the original korban and its tmura should be kedusha, and the word utmurase means v'loy tmura tmurase, not the tmura of its tmura. So only the first tmura is chal, the second one is not.
But you consider the third animal as the tmura of the second.
But it's not, because the original, the second animal is the tmura. Therefore, the pasuk by saying, v'hoyahu utmurasa yiyakodesh, by spelling out that word, utmurasa again, teaches us that only the first tmura becomes kodesh, not the tmura of the tmura, which would be the third animal. Then we said in the mission of Eina Blad Oys Tmura, we said a baby of Kodshim is not able to make a Tmura, which we talked about this the other day, that we mean, in other words, you have an animal of Kodshim that gave birth to a baby, where that baby also has Kedusha as a result of its mother. So we're saying that baby, because it only has Kedusha by virtue of its mother, from the Kayach of its mother, rather than on its own, then it's not able to make a Tmura. And the reason is, the Omak Pra, the reason is, because you have a meal, it's in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, who? The Pasuk says, if, and its Tmura should be Kodesh. So the word if, the word who is a meal. Who, v'loy v'lad, it means only the original animal that you were Makdish itself, that you were Makdish as a Korban, not its baby.
We saw that already. Why the Mishnah has to repeat?
Because we had it in the Gemara, we didn't have it in the Mishnah. We had it in the Gemara. We had the whole sugya earlier about Vlad is Kodeshim and Yud Aleph. But we didn't have it in the Mishnah. Then we said Rabbi Yehuda Omer HaVlad Oysa Tmura. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that and says that the Vlad is able to produce a Tmura. The reason is the Omakro Yiyah, because the Pasuk says it will be. It says Yiyah Kodesh, Lurabis is a Vlad. And Rabbi Yehuda says the word Yiyah is a ribui and says that therefore it comes to include the baby as well. Okay, V'Rabbanon. So what do the Rabbanon say to that? They say, they say the word yiyah doesn't teach us anything about the vlad. The word yiyah comes to teach us a different concept. That when it comes to tmura, shoygig is just like mezid. Now, what does that mean? We're actually going to learn later on at the end of the next parak a couple of different explanations what that means. But the most straightforward one, and Rashi just brings that one over here because it's easiest to understand, is that let's say, for example, you intended to make a tmura with a certain black ox, and instead you verbalized and you said, instead, I want to make this white ox a tmura, if such a thing had happened with regular hektish, nothing would happen. If you with hektish, it has to be piv v'libo shavin, that what you say and what you think have to be equal. So if you meant to say a black ox, and instead you said a white ox, nothing would happen. But the word yiyah, the Chachamim tell us, comes to teach us that when it comes to tmura, it's not like that. Even if you said differently than what you intended, nevertheless, the tmura still takes effect. So the Chachamim says, that's what we learn. That's how it is. So that's as they say. That's what we learn from the word yiyah. Okay. Even though you were shogeg, it still takes effect just as much as mezi. Again, I'm not dying in a few days, Beth Hashem. We're going to deal with more possibilities of what those words shogeg to mezi mean. But whatever it is, we learn it from the word diga. Okay. Mishnah says, ha'oifos, birds of kodshim, v'hamenachos, and korbanos mincha, ein oisin tmura, they're not able to produce a tmura. So if you had a bird that you were going to bring as an oilo or chatas, and you said, I'm making a tmura with this bird or whatever for it, nothing happens. The same thing if you had a korban mincha, and you said, I'm making a tmura for it, nothing happens. Shaloi nemer ela behema, because the pasuk that talk about the concept of tmura mention only the word behema. V'imhomer yomer behema b'behema, so therefore the word behema comes to exclude those things. Continues the Mishnah. Hatsibur v'ashutfin ein oisin tmura. The tzibur is not able to make a tmura with their korbanos, and also partners who own a korban in partnership. We've learned this concept already a few times in our parak. They're also not able to make a tmura. Shenema, because the pasuk says lo yachlifenu v'lo yomir. The pasuk says he should not exchange it and he should not swap it. And the word he, the fact that it's written in Losh and Yachid, in the singular, means Yachid oisa tmura v'ena tzibur v'ashutfin oisin tmura, means only a Yachid is able to make a tmura, not the tzibur and not shutfin. The Rambam actually learns, the Rambam shita actually is that the tmura doesn't take effect, but if one of them tries to do it, he will still get malchus. So the Rambam learns, let's say, for example, a person, you have two people own a korban in partnership, and one of them tries to make a tmura with that animal in partnership, the tmura won't be chal, the Rambam learns, but nevertheless, he will be chayiv malchus. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Kod she bedek abayis ein oisin tmura. Kodshe bedek abayis, where they only the monetary value of them belongs to Hekdesh, they don't have Kedushas Agruf, they don't have Kedushas Domim. So those, Ein Oisin Tmura, those are also not able to produce a Tmura. So again, you had an animal, Kodshe bedek abayis, and you said about a different animal of Cholim, this should be a Tmura instead of that one, nothing happens, as we'll see in the Gemara. Amr of Shimon, so Rav Shimon says, okay, you Chachamim have reasons for the dinim that you said, these dinim about a korbanos of a yachid versus tibur and korbanos of partners. I, says Rav Shimon, I have a different way of learning those dinim. So like this, Hare Maisa Behema B'chlal Hoya, Rav Shimon says like this, the din of tmura, it says twice in Parashas B'chukosai. First, it says it generically about all korbanos. Then, about 20 psukim later, it mentions it in connection specifically with ma'aseh behema. You have to take ma'aseh behema, which we learned about at the end of the Chodesh, and then the pasuk continues. Then the pasuk continues. Lo yivak ben tov lo rav lo yimirenu v'im homer yimirenu v'ha yohu esmerat v'yekodesh. So Rav Shimon says, "V'harei ma'aseh b'chlal hoya ma'aseh behema was." Part of the klal, it was part of the general category of korbanos. So we know already that the concept of tmura applies there. The lama yosa, so why is it singled out? And tmura is mentioned again specifically by ma'aser. So Rav Shimon says loy malach. That comes to teach you as follows: ma ma'aser korban yachid, just like ma'aser behema is a korban only of yachidim, because as we learned in the Chorus, when you have animals that are owned by partners, then they don't give ma'aser behema from it. The same thing, tmura can only apply to korbanos of a yachid, yotzu korbanos tibur, as opposed to korbanos tibur, because that tmura doesn't apply to them. And also, umma meiser korban mizbeach, and just like meiser behema is a korban which is brought on the mizbeach, therefore also tmura only applies to korbanos on the mizbeach, yotzu korbanos bedek abayis, as opposed to korbanos, meaning kodshim of bedek abayis, that tmura doesn't apply to them. So Rav Shimon says, all of the dinim, well not all, most of the dinim that we learned in our Mishnah about the tzibur and about shutvin, and about kodshim bedek abayis, where the chachamim have different sources for them, in the case of tzibur and shutvin, as the Mishnah had said, they're learning it from the singular, lo yachli fenu v'lo yomir oisai, And in the case of Kotcha Berka Bayis, they're learning it from the word from as we'll see in the Gemara, from the word korban. So Rav Shimon says, I have a different source for all of that. I learn it from a from a hekesh with my behavior. We learn in a brayso. Yoho yehu kod shebedek habayis oisim tmura. You would think that kod shebedek habayis should be able to produce a tmura. In other words, just that. You had an animal of kod shebedek habayis. You said this other animal should be instead of it. You would think that it should take effect. Talmud Lema. Therefore, the pasuk says, korban, therefore the pasuk mentions in this connection the word korban, meaning nishin nikru u korban. It only applies to things that are called korban. Yosu kodsha berek habayis shola nikru u korban, as opposed to kodsha berek habayis are not called korban, therefore tmura doesn't apply to them. So Gemara says, you're telling me that not? You're telling me kodsha berek habayis are not called a korban? We had this before, Bahatanya, we learned in a braisa. We learn in a braisa in a different context, in connection with the concept of shchut echut, that the Torah tells us you're not allowed to shech korbanos outside the azara of the Beis Hamikdash. So the braisa says that we're starting from the middle of the braisa, but it says over there that when the e korban, if we only have the fact that the pasuk says korban, shemeya ani afilu kod shebedek habayis, you would think that it applies even to kod shebedek habayis. Shenikru korban, which after all, those are called a korban. Ke'inyan shenem of anachle the korban Hashem begomer, as we have in last week's parasha, where the leaders of the army that went to fight against Midian came to Moshe and said that we want to offer the korban of Hashem, all the gold jewelry that we captured from Midian. So we see that kodesh bet kabayis, and those are obviously kodesh bet kabayis. It's gold; it's not being offered on the mizbeach. So those are still called the korban. So when the pasuk says that you're not allowed to shech the korban outside the Beis Hamikdash, you would think maybe it means kodesh bet kabayis. Talmud Loima, no. Therefore, the pasuk says al pesach oil moed lo hevi'oi. Therefore, the pasuk continues that he didn't bring it to the door of the oil moed, implying kol abo al pesach oil moed. Only the type of korbanos that are meant to be brought to the door of the oil moed, namely actual korbanos that are offered on the mizbeach. Only those chayav and olam mishum shchut echot. Only those would supposed to be chayav if he shechs them outside chayav kares. If he shechs them outside the azara. V'chol she'enei bo al pesach oil moed. Anything which is not meant to come to the door of the oil moed, namely kodesh bedek habayis, because there's no particular requirement to bring them to the door of the oil moed. You just the gizbar sells them and uses the money towards korbanos, or towards korbanos, rather towards the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, those are not coming to the door of the oil moed. Ein chayav no mishum shvot echot. So a person is not chayav kodesh if he shechs them outside the Beis Hamikdash. The point is alma ikru korban. So we see that kodesh bedek habayis, we see from this braisa, and from the pasuk that it quotes in Parshas Matos, that they are called a korban. So what are you telling me therefore in the braisa that because kodesh bedek habayis are not called korban, therefore tmura doesn't apply to them? The answer is I'm going to come in. Like kasha harav shimon harabanan. So Rav Chanina says no contradiction. One braisa is according to Rav Shimon, the other is according to the Rabbanan. Rav Shimon ikri korban, the Rabbanon lo ikri korban. According to Rav Shimon, kod shebedek habayis are called korban. So as we said in the Mishnah, how do we know therefore that tmura doesn't apply to them? Rav Shimon is using the same hekesh that he uses in the Braisa, which he said, and in the Mishnah rather, he had said that we're making it, that the Pasuk makes a hekesh between Maisa Behema and tmura. So therefore, whatever is true of Maisa Behema has to be true of tmura. Maisa Behema is not kodesh bedek habayis, it's kodesh mizbeach. Therefore, tmura can apply only to kodesh mizbeach. In other words, according to Rav Shimon, we need that hekesh, because if not for that, then yes, kodesh bedek habayis are called korban. The Rabbanon, lo ikri korban. According to the Rabbanon, kod shebedek habayis are not called korban. So the question is, what do you mean it's not called
korban? They don't need the hekesh.
Well, no. They don't need the hekesh. They say, I don't need the hekesh, because the fact is, kod shebedek habayis are not called korban. So the question is, what do you mean it's not called a korban? The lo yivaksiv anakrev et korban Hashem. We just quoted from the last braisa. We said that kod shebedek habayis are called korban. So what would the Chachamim be saying if not called korban? The answer is the Chachamim would say, korban Hashem ikri. Sure, the bedek habayis is called korban Hashem, but korban, but korban, but but uh, uh, um, but korban la'ashem lo ikri. It's called korban Hashem, but not korban la'ashem. In other words, there's a difference. A korban la'ashem means a korban which is meant to be brought to Hashem. As opposed to korban Hashem, is like you have an extra adjective over there. Korban la'ashem, you have the actual, you have the noun korban with no adjective attached. La'ashem means what are you doing with that korban? You're bringing it to Hashem. We never find, say the Chachamim, we never find that Kodesh Bet HaKavayis are called that. They're called korban Hashem, which is a noun plus an adjective. The korban of Hashem. That Kodesh Bet HaKavayis can be called, but that's not the same thing. So therefore, they say that's the difference. So therefore, korban la'ashem means you have just an unqualified noun. It is a korban. And what are you doing with the korban? You're bringing it la'ashem. As opposed to korban Hashem would be a noun with a qualifier. The korban of Hashem, as opposed to some other kind of korban. So therefore, the Chachamim say Kodesh Bet HaKavayis are never called korban la'ashem, or just plain korban. We find them called korban Hashem, but that's different. Korban Hashem means that you're qualifying what type of korban it is. And therefore, they say Tmura wouldn't apply to that. So we don't need Rav Shimon Tekish from Maisa Behema, they would say. Just the fact that it's never called unqualified korban, it's called korban Hashem, means therefore that it has a different thing. Whereas Rav Shimon doesn't agree with that, and therefore Rav Shimon needs his hekesh. Okay, so we learn in a braisa. Let's talk more about Rav Shimon's opinion in the Mishnah that he has a hekesh with Maisa Behema, and he learns dinim of tumura from it. So like this, the pasuk says, "Lo yivaker ben tov v'rav lo yimirenu." It says by Maisa Behema, you're not allowed to pick between good and bad, and you're not allowed to exchange it. So the question is, Rav Shimon says, "Loma nema." Why does the pasuk need to say that? 20 psukim earlier, it already says that you're not allowed to exchange or swap out the animal good for bad or bad for good. So why does it need to repeat it by Maisa Behema? So like this, lefi shenema lo yachlifenu v'lo yomiroi. So given that the pasuk says you're not allowed to exchange it, you're not allowed to swap it out, mashma korban yochid, korban sibuv, korban mezeach, korban betekabayis, that pasuk alone could imply equally well that these dinim apply whether it's a korban of an individual or the tzibur, or of the mizbeach, or of bedek habayis. You would think maybe tmura applies to all of them, because Rav Shimon doesn't accept what the Chachamim are saying in the Mishnah, that lo yachli fenu v'lo yomir oise means only singular, means only a korban of an individual. So therefore, Rav Shimon doesn't accept that, so therefore he needs a different source for these dinim. Tamad loyma, lo yivakir, therefore you have this pasuk, Ramayis Behema, lo yivakir. And Omer of Shimon, so Rav Shimon explains, what do I mean by that? Bahare Meiser b'chlal hoya. Meiser was part of the general category of korbanos, because you have a general category of korbanos that Tmura applies to, and Meiser is a korban. The Loma Yotza, so why is it singled out and mentioned Tmura by it again? So as we said in the Mishnah, Loy Maloch, Ma Meiser korban yachid, korban mizbeach, the korban mizbeach, there are four things, Rav Shimon says, that we have, that we can say about Meister, which are not necessarily true of other korbanos. Meister is only a korban yachid, because it's not brought by the tzibur or by partners. It's a korban that goes on the mizbeach. It's not Kodesh Shabbat HaKabayis. The Dover Shabbat HaKhoiva is something that you're obligated to bring, which we'll see on other days what kind of korbanos Rav Shimon is excluding by that. And the Dover She'ene B'Shurfus, and it's also something that doesn't apply to partners. So not only it doesn't apply to the tzibur, but it doesn't even apply to individuals who are partners. Ah, Kol, the same thing. Any korban to which Tmura would apply has to be these four criteria. Korban Yochid, the korban Mezeach, the Dover She'ene B'Shurfus, the Dover She'ene B'Shurfus. Only then would Tmura apply to it. That is why Rav Shimon says, so that's how I know, therefore, that it doesn't apply to korbanos of the tzibur or korbanos of partners, not like the Chachamim said, because we're learning from the pasuk korban, or because we're learning from lo yachlifenu v'lo yomiroi, but rather because we're learning from a hekesh with Maisa Behema. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Continues the Braisa. Rebbe Omer. Rebbe says that... Now Rebbe is following the opinion of the Chachamim, who disagree with this. They say that once it says lo yachlifenu v'lo yomir oisai, automatically that means not the tzibur and not partners, because lo yachlifenu and lo yomir oisai are in the singular. And Rebbe also holds, like the Chachamim, that the word korban already excludes kosher betek abayis, because according to them, only kosher betek abayis are called korban Hashem, but not korban la Hashem. The Rebbe, but we still have to explain, according to Rebbe, according to the Chachamim, okay, so why does the Torah mention tmura in connection with ma'aseh behema again? If they're not using it for Rav Shimon's hetish, then what are they using it for? So Rebbe Omer Lama Yosef Ma'aseh Me'ata. The Rebbe says, okay, according to our Shita, according to the Chachamim, why is ma'aseh singled out and tmura is mentioned separately by it? So he says not for the reason that Rav Shimon says to teach us dinim about tmura, but rather lidan b'tmuras shmoi over tmuras gufay, to teach us that when it comes to ma'aseh specifically, you do have the concept of the tmura, of the name of it, and of the tmura of the guf of it. What does that mean? We learned at the end of Bechoris, when we learned in the perek about ma'aseh behema, we have the case over there where you're counting the animals, and mistakenly you counted number 9, and you gave it the designation 10. We had actually the case over there where you have 3 animals that were involved in the mix-up. You called the 9th one 10, then you called the 10th one 9, and then you called the 11th one 10. So we said over there that all 3 of them have kedusha. We said the 9th one, the 9th one, which you mistakenly called 10, has kedusha, and you have to leave it till it develops the mum, and then you can shecht it and eat it. And the 10th one is the actual ma'aseh behema, and that's the one you bring as a korban. And the 11th one, we said over there that you bring as a shlum. So Rebbe says that the fact that it mentions tmura in connection specifically with ma'aseh behema teaches us about these dinim, about tmuras shmoy and tmuras gufay. Namely, so just that, in other words, it teaches us this concept that by ma'aseh, you have this concept where the 9th or the 11th one are able to become kaddish. You don't have that by any other korban. You only have that by ma'aseh behema. So therefore, you would think, once by ma'aseh, you already have this concept of number 9 and number 11 being able to have kedusha, you would think maybe the regular dinim of tmura don't apply to it. Maybe the regular case where you say this animal should be instead of this one wouldn't be affected by ma'aseh behema. Therefore, the pasuk repeats the concept of tmura by ma'aseh behema to teach us that it still does apply. So in other words, by ma'aseh behema, you have 2 types of tmura. You have the classic type of tmura, where you say this animal should be instead of this one. And then you have the unique ma'aseh behema type of tmura, where you mistakenly said that where you mistakenly called the 9th one number 10, or you called the 11th one number 10.
But it's not really a tmura. You made it by mistake. You didn't have a kavanah.
That's fine. I mean, first of all, we said before that tmura shogeg kenezid, right? But again, we're saying that concept, we learned at the end of Bechoris about that concept of the 9th or the 11th one being able to have kedusha. That's something unique to ma'aseh behema. So the point is, Rebbe is saying, given that you have that unique concept by ma'aseh behema, you would think maybe the regular concept of tmura doesn't apply to ma'aseh behema, as the Gemara will explain soon why we would think that. Therefore, the pasuk repeats the concept of tmura by ma'aseh behema to tell us that no, it still applies. So by ma'aseh behema, you have 2 types of tmura: classic tmura and unique to ma'aseh behema tmura, the 9th and the 11th.
Shogeg and Bemezi,
sort of like the shogeg and Bemezi, right? Okay. And another point. Why Rebbe says why the pasuk mentions tmura again in connection with ma'aseh behema, loymaloch, to tell you that there is a difference between. There's a difference between, now like this, within the 9th and the 11th themselves, they both have kedusha when you call them number 10 by mistake, but there are some differences between them. This concept that the Torah mentions, tmura, again, in connection with ma'aseh behema, is meant to tell you also some details, some differences between the 9th and the 11th. Now, in our Gemara over here, we use the word tmuras shmoi and we use tmuras gufoi. So tmuras shmoi refers to the 11th. Tmuras shmoi means literally you swapped out the name. Because like this, you called the 11th one 10 by mistake. And we learned at the end of Bechoris that din would apply only if you also called the 10th one by a different number. We learned over there, if you called the 10th one 10, and then you called the 11th one also 10, nothing happens and the 11th one has no kedusha. So therefore, the 11th one is called tmuras shmoi, in the sense that it's only considered a tmura, it's only considered to have kedusha, as if it was ma'aseh behemah, only if the names were actually swapped out. You not only called the 11th one 10, but you also called the 10th one something else. So that's called tmuras shmoy. The 9th one, meanwhile, is called tmuras gufoy, because it's a tmura of the actual body of the ma'aseh itself, because it came out 9th, and you called it number 10. So the difference is, loy malach, to teach you like this, tmuras shmoy kreva, the 11th one, which is tmuras shmoy, where you swapped out the name, that one is actually brought as a korban, it's brought as a korban shlomim, but tmuras gufoy ain't a kreva. But you should know that the tmuras gufoy, the 9th one, which you mistakenly called 10, is not brought as a korban, you just have to wait till it develops a mum, and then you shecht it in.
I don't understand why it's called gufoy and shmoy.
Okay, so it's called the 11th one is called Tmuras Shmoy because the only way that it becomes Kadosh is if the names were actually swapped out. That not only the 11th one was called 10, but also previously to that, the 10th one itself was called something else. So therefore, it's Tmuras Shmoy. It's only a Tmura. It's only a Tmura if the names were swapped. As opposed to the 9th one is not like that. The 9th one can be Kadosh. You can be Kadosh when you call it number 10. Even if after that the 10th one came out and you called it 10. So therefore it's called tmuras gufoy. It's a tmura of the body of the korban, of the body of the korban itself. Okay, so number one, so Rebbe says, again, the reason why it mentions the dinim of tmura again in connection with ma'aseh behemah, even though we should know already it applies just like it applies to all other korbanos, is number one, first of all, it teaches us this concept of that you have, that even though you have tmuras shmoy and tmuras gufoy, you also have the regular kind of tmura when it comes to ma'aseh behemah. Now we're saying another point, that within the tmuras shmoy and tmuras gufoy themselves, the 9th and the 11th, there are a number of dinim that are different between them. Number one, tmuras shmoy kreva, tmuras gufoy ene kreva. The tmuras shmoy, the 11th one, is actually brought to the korban. The tmuras gufoy, the 9th one, is not. Number two, tmuras shmoy nigelas, tmuras gufoy ene nigelas. Number two, the 11th one can be redeemed. So the 11th one, you're meant to bring it as a shlomim, but if it developed a mum, then you treat it like any other shlomim. You redeem it from hektish, and then you shecht it and eat it anywhere, and you take the value of it and use it to buy another animal for a korban. Tmuras gufoy ain't an echelos, as opposed to the 9th one, there's no pidyon for it, because the 9th one, the kedusha of it is only to the extent that you have to wait till it develops a mum, so there's no buying it back from hektish. And number three, tmuras gufoy chala al dava haroi val dava she'en haroi. Number three, another difference is the tmuras gufoy, when the 9th one becomes kodesh, if you called it by mistake, number 10, that applies whether it's suitable to be brought on the mizbeach, namely it's a tam, or it's not suitable to be brought on the mizbeach, namely it's a bal mum. But tmuras shmoy, on the other hand, when it comes to the 11th one, ein chala el al dava haroi bilvad. Then it only is chal on something which is suitable to be brought as a korban. If the 11th one was a bal mum, then it wouldn't work. Then even if you called it 10, it wouldn't have the din that you bring it as a shlom.
Only tmuras gufoy.
Only the 9th one, which anyway has to wait till it develops a mum. Right. Okay. So Rebbe is saying that's what we're learning from the Hekish between Meister and Tmura, not like Reb Shimon says that it teaches us that Tmura has to follow the same criteria as Meister. Note that it follows these criteria we learn from other Psukim. Instead, from these Psukim, we're learning the concept of what happens with the 9th and the 11th ones when it comes to Meister themselves, as well as the fact that Meister, you're able to have regular Tmura as well. Okay. Amri, so that was the Breiter. So they asked in the Yeshiva, what's the logic to argue that we said before in the Braisa that we would have thought because the concept of the 9th and the 11th applies to Ma'aseh Behemah, therefore you would think that regular Tmura doesn't apply to it, and therefore you need the Hekdesh to teach us that it does. But ask, what's the logic? Mishum the Rabbi Rahman of the Isbeit Smurat Shmoi. What is this? Because the Torah tells us that you have the extra case, the extra possible case of Tmura with it, of Tmurat Shmoi and Tmurat Gufay, Igrui Igora. Does that, what's the logic that therefore that should exclude the regular case of Tmura? And Rashi actually has two explanations over here. That Rashi's first explanation is that the Gemara is asking, why is Tmuras Shmoy not chal on a Baal Mum? We said before that it's not, but Tmuras Shmoy, the 11th one, is only chal on a Tam. So the Gemara is asking why, but Rashi says the lotion of the Gemara doesn't really fit with that, and so Rashi prefers his second explanation that the Gemara is asking, why would he say that because you can have Tmuras Shmoy, that you can't have Tmuras Gufay? The answer is A. The Gemara says yes. You would think that yes. You would argue Amrinan. You would think my de Rabbi, whatever the Torah explicitly included that you have, for example, this concept of Tmuras Shmoy and Tmuras Gufay, Rabbi, then okay, the Torah is adding that you have this concept. Well, my de lo Rabbi. You would think that what the Torah didn't explicitly include shouldn't be included. So yes, you would think that the Torah is saying when it comes to Maisa Behema, you have these special cases of the 9th and the 11th, which the Torah is Marga. Not those apply to it. So you would think, then, therefore, only those are being included, nothing else. Therefore, the Torah gives us the Hekish to teach us that regular Tmura applies as well. Okay, Gemara says, well, Hamehechet Pesi, where do you get that from? So where do you get that idea? That because the Torah says some new din in connection with a certain thing, that therefore other regular dinim shouldn't apply to it? Amar Rav Huna B'Rei D'Rabbi Shua, the Rav Huna B'Rei D'Rabbi Shua says, sure. Nishum Dehavi, this is an example of one of the Yud Gimel Midas. Dabar HaBal Lidan B'Dabar Chadosh, where we say every day in davening. Called Dabar Shahya B'Chlal, you have something that was part of a general rule, the Yotzel of general category, the Yotzel Lidan B'Dabar Chadosh, and then you have something specific, a new concept that applies to it that doesn't apply to any other members of the category, where V'Ein Bo El Chidusha B'Ovad. If the Torah doesn't tell us otherwise, then you say only that Chidush applies to it. So here would be a perfect example of that. Since the Torah tells us that the concept of the 9th and the 11th applies to Maisa Behema, which that concept doesn't apply to any other korban, so if you didn't have a pasuk telling us that, the regular dinim of Tmura that apply to all other korbanos apply also to Maisa Behema, then yes, the rule of Dabar Shahya B'Chlal V'Yotzel Lidin B'Dabar Chadash would tell us that it doesn't. Precisely for that reason, says Rebbe, the Torah has to give us that hekesh to tell us otherwise.
Otherwise, you would think it would not apply.
Another example of that, by the way, is Rashi mentions it on the Pesukim in Parshas Metzora. Another example where we apply that rule is, for example, the Torah tells us by the Osham of a Metzora that you have a couple of details that are different in it than a regular Osham. The blood of it, instead of being caught in a mizrach, like most other korbanos, is caught in, or some of the blood anyway, is caught in the kohen's hand, and the kohen applies it to the masorah's ear and thumb and toe. So the psukim have to explain over there that other than that, you treat it like a regular osham. Same idea. You have this dabar chadash, you have this new concept that you have by the osham masorah, how the blood is caught and how the blood is placed. So you would think that the regular rules of sprinkling the blood of a korban osham don't apply to it, and therefore the pasuk has to stress that other than that, the same didn't apply as any other option. So that's another example of applying this rule. Okay.
What's the rule called?
The rule is called, it's the 11th of the Yud Gimel Midas. Dabar Shahoya B'Chlal, the Yotza Lidon M'Dabar Chadosh, and it goes out, it's taken out of the category in the sense that you have some new rule applied to it that doesn't apply to the other members of the category. So we say, you're not able to return it to the category, meaning that should have the same dinim as the other members of the category, unless the Torah explicitly tells us that it belongs back in that category. So here, the Gemara is summarizing it in fewer words. The Gemara is summarizing the end of that rule in fewer words. The ein boy el chidush bovad. You would think that only the chidush applies to it, not the regular dinim of the other members of its category, and therefore the Torah has to tell us that it does. Okay. Now, in the Braisa before, we quoted we had a Braisa where we explained Reb Shimon's shita, and we said that Reb Shimon mentions there are four criteria that apply to Maisa Behema, and therefore, because of the Hekesh, all those four have to apply to to Tmura, and one of them was he said that it's a korban choyva. He said that Maisa Behema is a korban that you're obligated to bring. So let's analyze that. Omer Lirab Nachman by Yitzchak the Rava, Lirab Shimon the Omer Dover HaBaba Choyva. According to Rab Shimon, that you're telling me that Tmura only applies to korbanos that you're obligated to bring. What does that mean? Oylas Choyva he da'ab the Tmura ha Oylas Nadava loy. Are you telling me, therefore, according to Rab Shimon, only an Oyla that you're obligated to bring is able to produce a Tmura, but a voluntary Oyla would not? Where do we ever find such a concept? On my way, the Rava answer is no. Oyla Nadava Nam. No, if you volunteer to bring an Oyla, yes, it started out as a voluntary korban, but in a certain sense, it's an obligation. Kibben de Kibla Alei, once he accepted on himself the obligation, he said, Harezu. So then, of course, it is considered a choiva, because at that point, he has an obligation to fulfill his neder. So therefore, yes, of course, it can make a tmura. V'loi nitzricha, so what is Reb Shimon doing with his hekesh, with Meiser, and saying just like Meiser is something you're obligated to bring, so tmura only applies to a korban you're obligated to bring, ela la'ola haba'a min ha'moisri. Reb Shimon would say that the concept of tmura does not apply to an ola that comes from moisture, from leftovers. What does that mean? Rashi explains, we had earlier in the Perek, and we've had a number of times in Masech the Kodshim, that you have the case where you were supposed to bring a certain animal as a korban asham, and then for whatever reason it can't be brought anymore. There's a classic example is, for example, that it got lost and you brought a different animal as a korban instead, and then the original one turned up. So then we say that asham, that animal can no longer be brought as an asham. It's pushed off from being brought as a korban. It's nitak l'ri'ya. It's pulled away from its original status, and it's sent off to graze until it develops a mum, and then you use, and then you sell it, and you use the value of it to buy an oila. So therefore, that oila is not a davar shebechoyva. You never obligated yourself to bring it, because it only came about because of an osham that you were obligated to bring. So therefore, Sir Reb Shimon would say that kind of oila can't produce a tomorrow.
That Ova, you knew that this would be an obligation, didn't you?
No. The whole point is, you started out by being obligated to bring an osham. Then the animal that you designated for the osham got lost or whatever, and so you brought a different animal for the korban. And now the original one turned up. Now the result of it is that you're bringing the value of that animal for an ola, but you didn't obligate yourself to bring that ola. Therefore, Reb Shimon is saying that's not similar to Maisa Behemoth. Rabbeinu Gershom actually has a different understanding of it. Rabbeinu Gershom says that, let's say, for example, you had a person was required to bring a korban, and let's say, so he designated X amount of money to bring the korban, and then he turned out he had extra money. So the din is that extra money is meant to go to another oila. Anyway, now Rashi also points out that. Rashi also points out, Reb Shimon would say that there's a difference between the different kind of oilas. Rebbe wouldn't say that. Rebbe, actually, we said before, Rebbe is the one who argues with Reb Shimon and doesn't hold that we use the hekesh for that purpose. He said we use the hekesh to teach us that the concept of tmura applies to Maisa Behema at all. So Rebbe would say, look, you know what? When you're bringing an oila under such conditions, you're bringing it for the tzibur. And the tzibur anyway, we know the korban of a tzibur anyway can't produce a tmura. Okay, that's one possibility. Tosfos brings another possibility, which is that maybe Rebbe holds, like Rebbe Eliezer, who says further on in the Gemara, that this kind of oila that comes from Moisrus could produce a tmura. Okay. So the Gemara asks, my kasava, going back to Reb Shimon, my kasava. Okay, what does Reb Shimon hold? Why would he make that distinction and say that if this is a korban oila that you didn't explicitly obligate yourself to bring, then therefore it doesn't make a tmura? My kasava, what's Reb Shimon's svara? E kasava la kamanda alma moistris lenin vastibu adli. If he holds like the opinion that these leftovers, like this case over here of this animal that can't be brought as an asham and the value of it goes to an oila, if he holds that it goes for korbanos of nedava of the tzibur, namely kayis hamizbeach, that they use them for korbanos when there's no other korbanos being brought, well then pshita, of course, loyav the tmura, of course it doesn't make a tmura. ha'ein tmura b'tzibur. We already said in the Mishnah, everybody agrees that there's no tmura when it comes to korbanos tzibur. Ela, so obviously we have to say Rav Shimon Svirulei Kmanda Omar Moisris L'Nidvas Yochid Azli. Obviously Rav Shimon must hold according to the other opinion that the Moisores, but this, in this case, this leftover animal, the leftover value of it, doesn't go to a korban of the Sibur. Evidently he holds that it goes to a voluntary korban of the Yochid, and therefore we need the Hekesh to tell us that that Tmura doesn't apply to it. The problem with that is, man shamat lei hai svara, which Tana do we find has that svara, that these moisores go for a korban for an oila of a yachid? Rabbi Eliezer. That would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. Hal shaminim lei behavior da'av de tmura. But we find explicitly that Rabbi Eliezer holds that such a korban is able to produce a tmura. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, Ola Habam and Amosus Oisa Tmura Divir Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that such a korban could make a tmura. So who is so where is Rabbi Shimon getting his opinion from? The answer is Rabbi Shimon Sabale Kavasei Bechada Upoligale Bechada. The answer is Rabbi Shimon agrees with Rabbi Eliezer on one detail and disagrees with him on the other detail. He agrees that the korban that you have, like this animal that was supposed to be brought as an osham, and instead you can't bring it as an osham, so instead you bring its value for an oila. He agrees with Rabbi Eliezer that korban is brought as an oila for the yachid, not for the tzibur, but he disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer on tmura. Rabbi Eliezer stava oila habam and amosus osa tmura. Rabbi Eliezer holds that this kind of oila would be able to produce a tmura, just like any other oila. The Ihu and Rav Shimon, meanwhile, Saba, the Einos the Tmura, Einos the Tmura, he holds it's not able to make a Tmura because of his hectic with Meisir. Okay.
So the Gemara asks,
if you're going to say like that, if you're going to say that according to Rav Shimon, an Ola, which comes from the Kayach of an Osham, if you're telling me according to Rav Shimon that such an Ola is not able to make a Tmura, then what about, let's look back, we had a couple of days ago a sugya, devoid of oven, we had a complicated sugya there, where the oven asked the question, of following Rav Shimon's shitta, following specifically actually Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rav Shimon's shitta, that it's impossible to make a tmura again and again using the same korban. In other words, that if you had animal A for a korban and you make B a tmura for it, that worked. But then Rav Shimon had said, according to Rav Yechanan's understanding of Rav Shimon, was that if then you said animal C should be a tmura for A, then it doesn't work. So Rav Oven had asked, based on that, hifrish osham lehiskapibo, if a person designated an osham to have to bring his kapara, the hamer boy, and he made a tmura with it, the niskapibo osham acher, then he was niskapir in the end with a different osham, because the original one got lost, the nitak zeh la'ola, and therefore the original one goes off to become an ola, because Moshe Osham, he asked, Ma'u shiyachta v'yomiboy, is it possible to make a tmura with that original one after having already made a tmura with it one time? Because the question was, now that it got a different kedusha, now that it no longer has the kedusha of an osham, it became a different state kedusha, the guf echad, now has a second kedusha on the same guf, because before it was an osham, and now it's a shlomim, and the question was whether it's possible to make a tmura with it or not. So the question is, if you're telling me Rav Shimon holds that such an ola can't make a tmura anyway, so ilema, so aliba deman. According to which opinion of Tanoim is Rav Oven asking this question? Ilema alibad Rav Shimon. Are you going to say he's asking coins of Rav Shimon? Can't. Ha'amrit Rav Shimon Svirlei Ola Abom and Amosus Einois a Tmura. You just said that Rav Shimon holds that such an Ola can't make a Tmura at all. So according to him, there's no question. Of course you can't make a Tmura with this former Osham that now is an Ola. So doesn't that mean that our current understanding of Rav Shimon is wrong? Because otherwise, what's Rav Oven's question? The answer is Rav Oven Hachi Kamei by the way. The answer is Rav Oven is asking as follows. E mashkachas tana. If you can find a tana that this koi could have shimon, that he holds like Rav Shimon of the Mishnah, the Amma Einam Mirin B'Chozrin Umirin, where Rav Shimon holds that you can't make a tmura multiple times starting from the same animal of a carbon. And that canon would also hold like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that the Ola that comes from Moisris, the Ola which comes from the Koyach and Osham, is able to make a Tamora. Not like Rabbi Shimon, but rather like Rabbi Eliezer. If you can find such a Tana, then according to him, the question would be, Maushi Yachta V'yomimbo'i. Then the question would be whether you're able to make a second Tamora with that carbon. B'shnei gufana k'dusha achas mai, because the question would be, when you have, so the question would be, actually, we said that Rav Ovin had two questions. B'shnei gufana k'dusha achas mai, what about if you have two different animals in one k'dusha? Namely, again, you had the Osham, and then you were machalalit on another animal, as we said over there, would the second animal you were machalalit on be able to produce a tamura? Because it's the same kedusha, but it's shared across two animals. The im tim saloima kedusha achas oiloi, or if you were to say that one kedusha, that if you were to say that one kedusha shared across two gufim, you're not able to make a tamura. Elos shtei kedushas of a gufim achad mai, then the question would still be where you had the original animal of the osham itself turns into an ola, so now it has a second kedusha on the same goof. Then the question would be, if there is a tana who holds like Reb Shimon of our Mishnah and like Reb Eliezer of the Braisa, what would he hold in this case? And the answer is tiboi, which is a Yerushalmi expression equivalent to teku. That we don't know the answer. What would that hypothetical tana hold? We don't know.
We don't know even who he is.
Well, we don't even know which Tana that would be. But if there is such a hypothetical Tana, what would he say in this din? That was Rav Ovin's question, and the answer is we leave it as teku. But the point is, that doesn't contradict our understanding of Rav Shimon that the Ola Habam and Amosris is not able to produce a Tamura, because, okay, Rav Shimon holds that, but there are other Tanoim who hold differently, including Rav Eliezer. And you might even have a Tana who holds like Rav Shimon, just like we said now, that Rav Shimon himself agrees with Rav Eliezer on one din and disagrees with him on another. The same way, you might have a Tana who agrees with Rav Shimon on the one din about that you can't make a Tamura multiple times starting from the same carbon, but he might disagree with him about the Ola Habam and Amosris.
We don't know.
So we don't know.